you have acted, you creature, have acted contrary to the divine will of the Creator. You better regret what you've done. Otherwise, you will pay the consequences. Of course, our condition can also be painful regret because of the consequences that follow our sins. In fact, not only will follow, but we already have followed. We have done something wrong. See, we have offended some person whom we should dearly love. In a fit of anger, we may have said something very cruel. We are sorry, and we should be. No doubt contrition does include sadness for, say, having hurt a person, or for that matter, having hurt ourselves. I want to be still more clear on what we mean by contrition. The heart of contrition is sorrow for sin, though it may include other regrets and other kinds of pain, not just in the emotions, but even in the will. All of these are legitimate regrets, but they are not at the heart of contrition or sorrow for sin. The heart of sorrow for sin is regret in my will for having offended a loving God. Let me illustrate. The dearer a person is to us, one spouse in marriage to another, a parent loving his or her child, and we've done something offensive against someone who we know loves us and whom we are to love. How spontaneously we regret what we have done. But notice, it is having offended someone, not necessarily because the person has felt some deep pain. I've struggled with too many minds who tell me, how can we talk about offending God? Is God infinite or isn't He? Of course He is infinite. So what are you talking about? Offending God? Can we hurt God? Well, let's be clear. We're dealing with a mystery. We cannot hurt God in the sense of causing God as God any pain. That's why God became man, to experience pain as the God-man. But God is God is offended every time we act contrary to His will. And we are to be sorry for having offended the God except for whom we would not even exist. One more observation before we finish this subject of contrition. As we all know, there are two kinds of sorrow for having offended God. I can be sorry for having offended God, who is so loving to me, and then I am deeply pained over my ingratitude. over my lovelessness toward an all-loving God. We call that perfect contrition. Or I am sorry for having offended a God who I know is all just and therefore has a right to punish me. But notice, God is still in the picture. I wish I had hours to further explain and expand on this crucial subject of sorrow for sin, because, my friends, our eternal salvation depends, a sinner is speaking to sinners, our salvation depends on our sorrow for the sins we have committed. But there is also another kind of sorrow. I am sorry for having offended a God who is all just and never has a right to punish me. But I repeat, God is still part of my sorrow. It is still God whom I have offended. Here, an all just God. In other words, I have coming to me a penalty that God knows best I deserve for my sins. Consequently, even when our contrition, as we say, is imperfect, even when we are sorry for having offended God because we are afraid of the penalty, the pain, the suffering He has a right to send us, even then, I must keep in mind it is God whom I have offended. He has a right to punish me. Why? Because He loves me. And hear it. God causes us suffering in this world in order, first of all, that we may expiate the sins we've committed, but also to wake us up. How deeply and dearly God must love us. What a statement when He sends us pain for having offended Him. God wants. We do not say God needs. God wants. No words I can use can emphasize too strongly how God wants us to love Him and the pain we experience for the sins we've committed is God's way of teaching us how deeply I want you to love me. Pain is to wake us up to the deepest need we have on earth, to love God by surrendering our wills to His, in a word, avoiding sin. And now, strange peace of soul in the modern world. In a later conference, we shall reflect at length on the sacrament of confession. And as I'm sure you know, it is also called the sacrament of peace. on Easter Sunday night, when Jesus instituted the sacrament, he addressed the apostles with the words, "Peace be with you," and repeated them, "Peace be with you." Our focus, however, in this conference is not on the sacrament of confession. Our focus here is on the close, shall I say, divinely established relationship between peace of soul and forgiveness of sins. As we've said so many times, the mysteries of Christianity are not only to be believed with the mind. Oh no, they are to be lived out with our wills. So we ask ourselves, how are we to live out the article of the Apostles' Creed on which we are reflecting, namely, "I believe in the forgiveness of sins"? We are to live this mystery here on earth by growing in that peace of soul which depends absolutely on being freed from sin. Sigmund Freud, the founder of psychotherapy, wrote from experience in more than 20 years of counseling his clients, as he called them. He said he found that almost without exception, the root cause of their emotional and even mental disorder was a deep sense of guilt. In the United States alone, I checked the figures. The American Psychiatric Association now has more than 36,000 members. In my 5 years of teaching at a state university, I was also the Catholic chaplain at a state mental hospital. Over weekends, I ministered to over 600 Catholic patients. Most of what I learned, I cannot share with you. One thing I can say, feelings of guilt are near the central cause of all the emotional disturbance in the modern world. Let me repeat, near the center of the most emotionally disturbed century in human history is the feeling of guilt. Nothing should be clearer to a person who believes in Christ and His Church that we are meant to be at peace, not only between, say, ourselves and other people, but within ourselves, deeply, interiorly at peace. Shalom, the Hebrew word for peace, was built into all the messianic prophecies. Jerusalem, the city of peace, was a symbol of what the Messianic Kingdom was to be. Peace was the theme of the angel's song at Bethlehem. Peace was the theme of Christ's promise to his followers the night before he died. Peace was his first message to the apostles the day he rose from the dead. In the Eucharistic liturgy, often the church has us pray for peace. And our earnestly we hope to obtain peace if we lack it, or retain peace if we already have what must surely be counted as our single greatest possession on earth, this side of the vision of God, to be at peace. Interior peace is of two kinds. One in the heart or will, and the other in the mind or intellect. These two forms of peace are, of course, closely connected, but they are not the same. Peace of heart for the believing Christian is the absence of conflict between his will and ultimately the will of God. My heart is at peace when I want what God wants, when I desire only what he desires. It is in this sense that the inspired writer asks and does not have to answer his own question addressed to God. Who has ever resisted your will, O Lord, and been at peace? There was no reply. The answer is no one. Peace of mind, on the other hand, for the believing Christian, is the absence of conflict between his own mind and, finally, the mind of God. My mind is at peace when I know what God knows, insofar as a creature can participate in the ocean of divine wisdom. When I see people spending hours reading books, when I read that 5 million Americans are in college or university campuses every year, learning so much, dear God, so much, but sadly, how little of this is true. Let me repeat, our minds are at peace when we assent to what God has revealed. In other words, possess the truth. This does not mean that I comprehend the mysteries of revelation. When I trust in God's authority and submit my intellect to his. In a word, I have peace of mind when I have the truth. When my thoughts agree with God's thoughts and my judgments correspond to his. Peace of mind, then, is the experience of the truth. It is the result of truth. It is the fruit of truth. I shall have only as much peace of mind as I am in possession of the truth, especially of that truth which God has revealed and tells me to believe. So much for the two kinds of peace. Peace of heart and peace of mind. Now we return to the subject of our closing reflection. Peace of mind in the modern world. Anyone who knows the modern world has no illusions. If there is one thing that modern man desperately needs, and Sunday lacks. It is peace of soul. This peace of soul is available only to those, and we have assumed we are all sinners. And I repeat what we've been saying. The root cause of the lack of peace of soul is the sense of guilt. How in the name of God can we be at peace, we sinners? This peace of soul is available. Then hear it. Only those, of course, who have sinned. We've all sinned. Only to those who believe that God became man precisely to be what he called himself, the Prince of Peace, the Source of Peace. They, change the pronoun, we, must believe that the incarnate God established the church for just this reason, to provide repentant sinners with the assurance that they are once more in God's friendship. Why? Because they have humbly confessed their sins and received absolution in the sacrament of peace. I cannot tell you how many hours I spent in explaining to my students in the Protestant seminaries at which I taught how eager they were to hear what I was saying. The Catholic Church believes, under God she believes, no matter how deeply we may have offended a just God. Once we confess our sins and receive absolution, we are in God's friendship as truly as were the sinners in Christ's visible stay in Palestine when he told them, "Go in peace, your sins are forgiven." There are two short quotations from the late Archbishop Fulton Sheen that deserve to be quoted here. Psychoanalysis, he says, is a probing of mind by mind. Confession is a communion of conscience in God. Again, Fulton Sheen. And I should say, we were close friends. Fulton Sheen. There are many souls stretched out on a psychoanalytic couch today would be far better off if they brought their conscience to the confessional box. Unquote, Fulton Sheen. Of course, this presumes that a person believes that Jesus Christ instituted the sacrament of confession in order to forgive our sins and restore that peace of soul for which there is no substitute this side of eternity. It is impossible to exaggerate the importance of the article of the Apostles' Creed on which we are reflecting. We will deal with the sacrament of confession in a separate conference. Right now we are concentrating on our profession of faith, I believe, in the forgiveness of sins. Believe me, the sins we believe are forgiven are not the sins of an abstract humanity. They are my sins. Oh, I need to believe that God became man to institute the confession by which we can recover our friendship with God and restore that peace without which no one can be happy. I would like to share with you a precious quotation that I found in Robert U. Benson. He would have his dates, 1871 to 1914. The youngest son, hear it, of the then Archbishop of Canterbury, Edward Benson. Robert was the son of the Archbishop of Canterbury, of course an Anglican, but his son became a Catholic. He entered the Catholic Church in 1903, and a year later was ordained to the priesthood in Rome. In the decade between his conversion to Catholicism and his early death, he published some of the most quotable books in English literature. Needless to say, Robert U. Benson is in the Catholic Lifetime Reading Plan. In context, Father Robert U. Benson, he is speaking of a converted sinner whom he calls the ransomed soul. Says Benson, picture the peace of the ransomed soul that knows itself safe in the arms of God, that rejoices even in this world in the light of his face and the ecstasy of his embrace, that dwells by waters of comfort and lies down in the green pastures of the heavenly love. While round this little island of salvation is an ocean of terror, the thunders of wrath sound only as the distant surge on a far-off reef. Unquote, Benson. You have the faith. Are the islands of peace in a world that is in dreadful agony because it is so sadly aware of being in sin. But this peace of soul is promised us repentant sinners who believe that Christ gave the church he founded the power to restore our friendship with an offended God. I have a closing prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for founding the Catholic Church to which we belong. Through the Church you tell us today what you told the sinners of your day. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. How can we best show our gratitude for this mercy? We can do this by serving you with heroic generosity. Jesus, the more deeply we have sinned, the more deeply we promise to spend ourselves in loving you, who died on Calvary to restore us sinners to your divine love. Amen. thank you for listening. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.